Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
It's a deadly gamble. We know it's going to happen sometime. We know it's going to happen to ourselves or to those we love. We know it may be very expensive, and we know we should plan for it, but too often we don't. I'm talking about accidents and illness. It is critical for everyone to possess health insurance. It's our hedge against a possible financial meltdown if we're stricken with a catastrophic illness or injury. But what if the family member that becomes ill is the family pet? The advances in veterinary medicine are spectacular, but they come with a price tag. How is a pet owner supposed to pay for these potentially life-saving treatments? Pet insurance is making the miracles of veterinary medicine more affordable for the caring pet owner, but not all insurance companies are created equal. This segment of The Pet Doctor will explore how the concerned pet owner can find pet insurance company that fits their individual need. My guest today is Ms. Laura Bennett of Embrace Pet Insurance. We'll be right back after these few words.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.
Flight 291 is now boarding. All passengers, please proceed to gate 4.
And who's this traveling with us today?
This is Bailey. She's never flown Midwest Airlines before.
Hi, Bailey. She'll be fine. We take special care of our traveling pets. In fact, our Premier Pet Program was created by an employee and dog lover who believes that pets should be handled as precious cargo. And they are. Oh, and they earn travel rewards, too.
Oh, good.
Thanks for flying Midwest Airlines, Bailey. Enjoy your flight. Visit MidwestAirlines.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.FidoFriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
Ms. Bennett, thank you so much for being with us. I know so many pet owners really, really love their animals. And I've had too many instances where people will come in, the pet is ill, I tell them that there's something that we can do, And too often they say, I just can't afford it. Now, the first question I have for you, is pet insurance really very similar to human insurance? Because that's what we're most familiar with.
Absolutely. And first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I love to talk about pet insurance. And in answer to your question, well, it is similar in some ways in that it looks quite similar. There's things like deductibles and co-pays and all the other insurance-like things. And also sometimes pet insurance does include routine care, which often, of course, our own human insurance covers as well. But it's quite different in the respect that you can go to any veterinarian in the United States, and generally, pretty well every insurance plan will let you go to any specialist, any emergency care clinic. They don't restrict any of that. So it's similar and different.
Is this, Ms. Bennett, more like a forced savings plan? Because a lot of people will say, okay, how about if I just put some money aside? You know, if the pet gets ill, I'll have a little savings account that's just for Fifi.
Well, and we actually recommend people do that as well because, first of all, with insurance, as I mentioned, there are deductibles and co-pays. So no matter what, even with insurance, you're still going to be sharing in the bill. But there are some things that you can budget for, and we recommend people put aside money for the routine care aspect. So your vaccinations and your wellness visits, your yearly checkups and so on, these are all things that you can approximate an amount for every year. What insurance is really for is for the unexpected. And the unexpected is not only the event, but it's the amount of the event. So, for example, we actually had a claim for an English bulldog where it was a two-year-old bulldog that all of a sudden started having epileptic fits. And the bill that went along with the care and management of the epilepsy was over $5,000. And if that wasn't bad enough, right when the dog got the epileptic fits and went into the hospital, it also contracted pneumonia. And the treatment and care for that was another $5,000. So the total bill was over $10,000. Now, I'm not suggesting this is a normal bill, but what I'm saying is these sorts of bills can happen. And even, you know, $2,000 is quite common. I mean, if a dog breaks its leg, it's not a $200 bill. We're talking, you know, $1,200 to $1,500. At least, and it depends as well on where you live. Manhattan is going to be much more expensive for veterinary care than rural Idaho, for example, to put two extremes on it. So really what insurance is for is the unexpected part of the veterinary care, and people should also budget some for the stuff that they know about that's going to happen every year.
That's a great idea because I know with my own health insurance, I have, you know, that first deductible that you need to meet. Then afterwards, it kicks in. So it sounds as though pet insurance, Embrace Pet Insurance, is very much similar to that.
Absolutely. And if only there was such a thing as a health savings account for pets.
That would be very nice. I'd like to be able to deduct some of my pet bills off of my IRS, but I don't think they're going to let me do that.
Maybe one day.
We can but hope. I know there's quite a few myths and facts that I'd like to chat with you about. Now, people really have embraced their animals to be part of the family, and it seems as though that is pet insurance just something that the crazies in the United States are doing, or are there other countries that have pet insurance?
Oh, it's actually, while more and more people in the United States are getting pet insurance, it's still at about 0.5% of all cats and dogs in the U.S., and we're talking about 161 million cats and dogs in the U.S. So that's a lot of cats and dogs, but few are insured. However, if you go across the pond to the United Kingdom, over 20% of all cats and dogs are insured. And in fact, if you have a cat or a dog in the United Kingdom, even though 80% are not insured, let's say, everybody's heard of pet insurance. It's a very ordinary, common kind of insurance, something that you consider as a financially responsible pet parent, what you're going to do when you get faced with these large vet bills. So it's quite a common insurance. And in fact, Sweden, I think, is even higher with over 40%, nearly 50% of all cats and dogs are insured. So it's quite common elsewhere, and it's beginning to pick up here in the United States.
Why do you think that it hasn't caught on? Because I know that pet insurance has been around now for quite a few years. I believe it really first started in about 1982.
That's right. It has been around for over 26 years. And I think there's a number of things that have happened in the United States. First of all, the policies that have been around in the past, I think, have not covered things that people expected to be covered. So, for example, breed-specific issues. So that luxating patella that your chihuahua might be prone to would not be covered in the past. And while it's fine that these things are not covered, if people don't know when they buy their policy or aren't really aware of what is a breed-specific issue, it becomes a problem when at claims time, now you have an event that happens and you think it's going to be covered, and it turns out not to be. So I think people have been a bit disappointed with the products in the past. And in the United Kingdom, for example, the very first product that came out did cover hereditary conditions and also paid out based on the vet bill itself. And I know that sounds like an obvious thing because that's what your insurance is for vet bills, isn't it? But in the past, the main products out there have covered the based on a benefit schedule. So what that means is there's a list of totals that would be paid out for the year for certain types of conditions. And sometimes it hasn't caught up with inflation, and it doesn't vary by location. So sometimes people are a bit disappointed in what has been paid out in the past. So I think things are changing, though, in the United States. More pet insurance coming on the market, and the existing insurers are beginning to realize that perhaps their product design needs to change a little bit. And people are having a much better experience now. So the rate of uptake of insurance is beginning to accelerate.
I totally agree with you because I know there is one product out there right now. It's probably the grandfather of all pet insurance. And it was always very frustrating because maybe the pet came in because it swallowed the rubber ducky and you'd have to go in surgically to remove it. Well, the total bill was, say, $2,000. And it would be $150 for x-rays and $200 for blood work. And this breakdown just did not seem fair. Now, it sounds as though Embrace does not do that. Is that correct?
That's correct. We pay based on the vet bill itself, and we also cover breed-specific conditions. Now, that means that if you have a mixed breed dog, you'll pay less than a purebred dog, and different purebred dogs will have different prices. But this reflects what is fair for the average, if you like, cost of those breeds. And so we're hoping, in fact, something like 70% of all our policies are purebred dogs. So we are obviously appealing well to these pet parents.
With having these purebred dogs that Embrace Pet Insurance is garnering from the pet population, some of them, for instance, we'd have a Rottweiler, and they're prone to certain problems, their hips in particular. Or you'd have a Doberman, and Dobermans are prone to having the genetic problem of von Willebrand's disease. Will your insurance cover that, or is that considered a genetic defect and it's not covered?
No, we will cover that as long as there have been no signs of it already. So, for example, the German Shepherd dog that is prone to hip dysplasia, as long as there have been no signs when you first sign up, and then it turns out later to have hip dysplasia, we will cover that.
That is great. Now, is pet insurance basically just for the very active young dog and that very old dog that's prone to having problems, or should all pets have pet insurance, cats as well as dogs?
Well, cats as well as dogs, absolutely. I have two cats. They're both insured, one with a competitor and one with Embrace. And dogs and cats of all ages can get pet insurance. But the one thing to keep in mind is that no pet insurance company covers pre-existing conditions. So that means those things that you already know about, have already been diagnosed perhaps, or that you've already seen signs about. So if, your dog, the German Shepherd, is starting to limp, and you go to the vet and they go, maybe that's something could be costly, and then you go and get pet insurance, it's not going to cover anything that results from the limp. So the message really is get to pet insurance when the dog or cat is young.
Because sounds like a great idea.
You'll minimize anything that might be pre-existing, or the risk that the dog or cat will get something before you get the pet insurance. And pet insurance is the one thing you cannot get when you need it the most.
Definitely. Now, what happens, for instance, if I have a Cocker Spaniel? Cocker Spaniels love to have ear problems. I've had this ear problem. I've gotten it cleared up. It's now been under control for the last year because maybe I was giving it a bath and getting water in its ears. Since it did have an ear problem at one time, but it's been okay for the last 6 months or a year, Would that be covered, for instance?
That could be. So there are two types of pre-existing conditions. So something that some kind of condition that happened in the past but has stopped and is being cleared up. And most pet insurance companies will cover those conditions if, now in this case we were talking about a breed-specific condition, but anything, any kind of skin condition or toenail that got caught or something. Once those things are cleared up and have been clear for a period of time, then it is likely that the insurance company will cover it again. Now, for the breed-specific condition, you might say, well, it's prone to that, it's likely to keep coming back. So there could be a discussion about whether it becomes a chronic condition. But if you had an example where, for example, my cat Barnes has kidney disease, and he has bouts of it every 2 or 3 years, but really kidney disease doesn't go away. It's just there in the background. So I would never be able to get insurance for his kidney disease, even though he's been free and clear of it for the last 2 years. But, you know, he would not be covered if I'd moved him to a different insurance company.
When we first started talking, you had mentioned people sometimes wanting to have coverage for those wellness issues, the typical vaccines, the dewormings, heartworm medication. Is that something that Embrace has, or is this just going to be for major medical catastrophic problems, illnesses, injuries?
Right. Well, at the moment, we do not have the wellness plan. When we first started, we felt very strongly that insurance is for the unexpected, which is what insurance is for. And so think of it like auto insurance, which, of course, I'm not comparing my cat, Lillian Barnes, to a car, but you can think of insurance in that way, that it covers the unexpected. So in auto insurance, you don't have your insurance cover your tire changes and your oil changes.
Those things you'd expect, right, the everyday
exactly.
things.
Exactly, those are the things that you put aside the money for yourself. But on the other hand, a lot of people think of this like their own human health insurance, which does cover routine care, and they do want those wellness things covered. So we said, well, just because we think it's one way, but our customers think it's another, we're going to go ahead and start covering wellness sometime in the summer. And but other companies do offer it as an optional package.
What does Embrace Pet Insurance typically cover? You could say 10 things that typically would be covered.
Well, we typically cover all the types of things that you imagine your cat or dog needing at the vet. So if your cat is sick, you go into the office. So everything from the office visit, the diagnostic tests, from x-rays to MRIs, any hospitalization and care for that, and things like surgery. So Embrace would cover all of these things for the unexpected that your cat or dog will get.
And since we're doing such a wonderful job of keeping our pets alive so much longer, we're now seeing this huge increase in cancer in pets. Now, will Embrace take care of things like cancer?
Absolutely, absolutely. We cover cancer and all the related treatments. We also cover, we have an optional drug plan. So for take-home drugs, you can have the option of adding that onto your policy. Any drugs that are administered, including cancer treatments, at the vets are included in the base policy. But we will add the drug plan on top, as well as dental illness coverage. Now, not the routine dental cleanings, because, again, that's a wellness aspect. But for cavities.
Don't they get cavities.
Your cats and dogs. Yeah, and they might get cavities. If you're feeding them sweets, that's kind of naughty. But any cavities or abscessed teeth will be covered. And we will cover root canals if it's medically necessary. So, for example, if the canine tooth of a dog could have the option of either being pulled or have a root canal, we would pay for the root canal because it's necessary for the dog to have that tooth to be, you know, healthy in its eating. Or perhaps a tooth that's the last tooth on the side that's holding the tongue in, we would pay for a root canal for that. Otherwise, certainly pulling teeth we cover.
I had a client who recently we needed to refer to a board-certified veterinary dentist because one of the large, looks like a molar, it's called a premolar, doesn't really matter, but a big tooth in the back, one they use for chewing, had a slab fracture, basically broke off a side of the tooth. So this is a very essential tooth. The tooth was saved by having a root canal There's three roots to this particular tooth, and it had a stainless steel crown put on, and this all grand total was about $3,000. So, yes, dentistry can be quite costly. When you were talking a little bit about chemotherapy also, there are times I know when a person has cancer and they may go to one of these research facilities and they said, we can do this treatment, but your insurance is not going to cover it because right now it's not FDA approved. Is that a problem that a pet owner is going to run into with Embrace, for instance?
It is possible, although we look at each case individually. So our policy does state that we do not cover experimental drugs. So
okay.
But as I said, we tend to look at these things on a case-by-case basis and talk to the pet parent and the expert in this case to find out what is specific about this treatment.
I went to your website and I saw something that I thought was really very unique and very special. You were talking about having a customizable pet insurance. What do you mean by customizable?
Well, when we were first looking at pet insurance, my business partner and I, we were thinking, well, what do people want in their insurance? And we asked over 2,000 people. And what we got back was that every single person wanted something different, different in insurance parlance, risk tolerance, tolerance for risk and willingness to pay, and different desires for what, you know, what the insurance covered, routine care included or not, and drugs included or not. And some people wanted just everything, and some people wanted very little, but to cover sort of emergencies. So we said, well, how on earth are we going to come up with a product that's going to cover that? And we came up with something. We said, well, why don't we let the pet parent choose themselves? And so what we've done is we've created a policy where the deductibles and copays and maximums for the year, all of these things are choices that you make. So, for example, we have a deductible that's $100 a year, $200 a year, and $500 a year. And so for somebody who wants everything covered, they're better to go for the $100 a year, but that's much more expensive than the $200, which is much more expensive than the $500 a year deductible. So it just depends on what people are looking for, but what it means is you get to pick. And so if you have a price in mind by what you would like to spend for the month or per year, you can just go to the website and actually play around. We have a slider that goes up from the lowest price all the way up to the highest price, and you can slide it up and down, and all the coverages change, and you can make your own trade-offs between price that you're going to pay and the benefits that you're going to get. So it's up to you, not us.
That is great. Now, speaking of paying, when they send in a claim, approximately what is the turnaround time? Because that's something that always bothers us in human medicine. You put in your claim and it seems forever before your doctor gets paid. And in this case, is it the doctor that gets reimbursed or is it the pet owner?
Yeah, the normal process is that you pay the bill first at the vet and then you submit it to being reimbursed. And what we encourage people to do is to take their claim form, and it's a very simple claim form that you can have anyone at the vet clinic fill out, and you need to sign at the bottom, but take it to the vet, your vet's office, and leave it there in your pet's file so that whenever you need it, they can just make a photocopy of it, you can have them fill it in, and then they can fax it to our 1-800 number right then and there from the clinic. We also suggest some people leave it in their glove compartment with, you know, other papers that they might carry around. But keep it handy, and then once you get it into us, it's within 15 working days we'll get back to you with the decision and a check, you know, if that's the result of the review. And often we do it sooner, but sometimes the very first claim, we need you to fax in the health history as well of your pet. So that's the first claim. We will have a look at the health history and just check that there are no outstanding pre-existing conditions. And if you wish, you can actually send that in earlier so you can make that first claim go even faster.
Great. Now, a question for you. I know that I think some of the reasons why people have shied away in America from pet insurance is that there's been different companies that have come and gone and maybe not been underwritten to the best, highest quality possible. Who is Embrace underwritten by?
We're proud to say that we're underwritten by Lloyd's of London.
So, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, one of the longest serving companies. And interestingly enough, they have been behind many of the top pet insurance programs in the United Kingdom. And so our specific underwriter at Lloyd's is being responsible for three of the top four programs in the United Kingdom at some point in their history in the past.
Very reputable. So, Ms. Laura Bennett, if people wanted to learn more about Embrace Pet Insurance, is there a website and a phone number they can call?
Absolutely. Our website is embracepetinsurance.com, and our phone number, 1-800-511-9172. It's 1-800-511-9172. And we're delighted to talk to anyone that wants to talk about pet insurance. And, you know, we're always a very good place to start research. And if you have questions about anything to do with pet insurance, whether it be us or other companies, we'd be more than happy to point you in the right direction. We'd also advise your listeners to go to petinsurancereview.com, which is a third-party site that just collects reviews from people who have pet insurance from all the different companies. And so you can see ratings that people have of the different companies. And I'm proud to say that Embrace is one of the top-tier companies on that site.
Excellent. Well, we know that we never want our pets to become ill, but we also know that we never want to make that serious decision because it's only based on money, and pet insurance can really help these people out. Ms. Bennett, thank you so much for being with us today on The Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com. We'll be right back after this short message.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
School's in session on Pet Life Radio with Teacher's Pet. Learn how to communicate with your pet, train your pet, and see the world from your pet's point of view. You may even learn a few tricks yourself. Teacher's Pet with pet expert and author Sarah Wilson, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
I have an 8-month-old granddaughter, and I have to admit I am so proud of this baby because I just found out when she was put on her blankie the other day with various toys and a book, what did this baby go for? She went for the book. So, Marianne, I know. We have Marianne Dell back with us. She is the Orange County newspaper reporter talking about pet health. But right now, you're going to be telling us about some fantastic books. I think my granddaughter's a little too young for any of your books, but I can always buy them and save them, give them to the older girls, too.
This is true. And one of them, actually, you never know. She might just like looking at the pictures in one of them.
Tell us all about it. What do you have?
I will. Okay, the first one is really cool. I found this in a consignment store when I was looking through books, and I just fell in love with it. It's called George Washington and the General's Dog.
Fun.
It's by Frank Murphy, illustrated by Richard Waltz. The publisher is Random House. It's $3.99 and for ages 5 to 9.
Deal of the century, $3.99.
Yes, isn't it? Now, we've had a lot of books written about George Washington, of course. He was the father of our country, our first president, key figure in the Revolution. But did you know he was a dog lover? I didn't know that until I picked up this book, which is a true story, it says. He had a lot of dogs at his home at Mount Vernon. And when he went away to war to fight the British, he took his favorite dog named, get this, Sweet Lips. with him.
What breed of dog was this Sweet Lips?
He looks kind of beagle-ish, according to the pictures in the book. And the cool thing about this book is it's about what happens when a dog that belongs to English General George Howe ends up in Washington's camp. Now, they were, of course, enemies, but Washington calls for a truce so that he can return the dog to General Howe because he knows how important his dogs are to him, and he knows how important General Howe's dog must be to him. And a truce was called. They gave the dog back. And then everything resumed as it had been. But it's such a cool story because it talks about how some things can and should transcend the biggest battles and how important our animals can be to us and how someone who was doing such a big thing, taking so much of his life to fight this war, knew that there was something even more important than that, and that was a man's love for his dog.
That is absolutely amazing. What a wonderful story. We see people now in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. You see the people with guns, and all of a sudden they're reaching down, and they're petting a pup or they're petting a kitten. And yes, you realize that no matter what they're doing, no matter what the strife is, that bit of humanness is still there.
Yeah, and there are a couple of programs that have been started, too, to bring some of those animals back. There's Baghdad Dogs, I think it's called, that is working to bring back some of the dogs that the soldiers have befriended over there, because until this war, it's been absolutely impossible. Even the dogs that went over there as military dogs were often left behind. Many of them were in Vietnam. And it was, you know, one of those horrible little-known things about fighting. And it's good to see that there's some compassion on that side growing.
Hopefully we'll have compassion for the people as well as the pets.
No kidding. No kidding.
So, General Washington and the General's Dog by Frank Murphy, $3.99. You can learn all about Sweet Lips.
That's right.
What is the next great book that you've found for us?
Okay, the next one is called Something Special. It's by David McPhail. Publisher is Little Brown & Company. It's $12.95, and this one's for ages 5 to 8. This isn't an animal book per se, but it uses an animal family to teach a very valuable lesson. Sam, the main character, doesn't think he can do anything special. His sisters are really special, and they have great talents. One of them plays the piano, the other is a ball player. Even Sam's parents have unique abilities that they do, and Sam just can't seem to find his niche, can't seem to find anything special about Sam. Until one day, as often happens, he discovers his unique talent. And this book is just so nice because it tells children and maybe even reminds parents, we all have special attributes. Sometimes we have to look for them. They don't present themselves automatically, and sometimes they do. But we're all special. We're all unique, and we're all worth taking care of one another and loving one another and looking for that specialness. That's just a nice message.
That's wonderful. Just thinking also about my granddaughters, the two older ones. One of them is just this great artist, and the other one sometimes gets her feelings a bit hurt because, you know, well, Lindsay's doing all these great things and everyone's giving her accolades, and what can I do? So, yes.
That's right. Sometimes it's easy to get lost in that when somebody else has something so special and everybody's making a fuss, and particularly for children. So this is a good one.
So ages 5 through 8, Something Special by Dave McPhail?
McPhail, yes.
Do you have any other wonderful books?
I sure do. This is the one I thought maybe your granddaughter, even though she can't read the words yet, might kind of enjoy because of the pictures. This is called The Dog Princess Fairy Tale. It's by various artists. The publisher is HarperCollins. It's $16.99. And the words are for ages 6 to 9, but honestly, everybody will enjoy it. We're all familiar with those dog photographs that are taken at weird angles, and so the dogs have great big eyes and great big noses. And they started as postcards in Japan, and they've grown to be on everything. There's stuffed animals and coffee mugs and posters and note cards. And the pictures are just cute. you know, they're funny looking. They're dogs that are, they look different than what we're used to seeing because they use special lenses and shoot them at odd angles. Well, this one combines those photos with drawings so that the dogs are wearing clothes and then words that tell a story. And it's the story about a princess dog who yearns for a prince. And she asks her fairy dog mother to bring her one at a party she's having. But the problem with bringing one prince, which is what she asked for, is only one of the little girl doggy friends can have a prince. And the lesson that the princess learns is maybe a prince isn't quite as important as her friendship with all her friends, and she doesn't want to shun her friends just so she can have a prince. A lovely lesson, I think, for girls of all ages to learn and to remember.
Especially those little girls 9 years old who are about to go through puberty and thinking that the boys are the most marvelous thing that are out there, and forget all your little girlfriends and all the problems that arise.
That's right. Your little girlfriends who will be there 10 years later when the boys are maybe not quite so important.
And also the bottom line of this, the words of wisdom is, for all those real doggies that are out there, we want them all to be spayed or neutered because in the long run, it's so much better for their health. So
yes,
only in books, yes.
That's right. The Dog Princess Fairy Tale. And about ages 6 to 9. And like I said, the pictures are so cute and they're funny and they're big because, you know, these photos tend to be run fairly large and very close up when they're shown. So it might amuse your little 8-month-old granddaughter.
I'll have to get it because I have the 9-year-old granddaughter who's now thinking boys are very special. So, yes, hopefully she'll get that kernel of the moral from the story.
Yeah. Very good.
one last one. Perfect.
Yep. This is called Biscuit Loves Reusable Sticker Book by Alyssa Satin Tapachilli. Harper Festival is the publisher. It's $6.99 and it's ages 2 to 6. This is one of my favorite kids series is Biscuit, the little yellow dog. And they're just great because they're nice little books about having a pet in the family and how to treat it well, and it's a cute little puppy, and they're good early reading books because they're fairly simple. This one is a sticker book, and the cool thing about this one, there's a lot of sticker books out there, but the stickers are reusable. So kids can put them in a picture and then change the way they look. In the back of the book, there's a blank page so that kids can create their own scene with Biscuit and her friends. And the story is very simple. It just talks about things that Biscuit loves, and there's pictures of her owners and the little girl she lives with and, you know, leashes and dog bowls and stuff like that that kids can put in the picture, and then they can move them around, as I said. So it not only is a book that helps with reading, but it also helps with fostering creativity and helping kids use their imagination.
Sounds like it's great for in the back of the car and you're driving someplace, you need something to foster quiet.
See, so it helps parents too.
Yes, definitely helps the parents. I love it. So the name of this again?
Biscuit Loves the Reusable Sticker Book.
Well, Mary Andel, you've always come up with the best books and more ideas of books that I can buy for the grand girls because I don't like buying them toys, but I love buying books. So you've given me some great ideas. If people also wanted to learn more about what you're doing with the Orange County Register, where can they go? How can they learn more?
Best place is our website, www.ocregister.com. And go to the Life section and then the Pets page under Life. They can also pick up the Monday Register and look in the Life section at the Pets page is there. And we've got hopefully a lot of good stuff for people and their pets.
Great. Well, Marianne, thank you so much. We will definitely have you back again because you always have just wonderful books with little known information like George Washington and then also great morals. So thank you.
That's right. All right. You're welcome. Good to be here as always.
Thanks. Okay. Well, you've been listening to The Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com. We're going to have a new feature, and it is called Positively Good News. We'll be right back after these short words.
please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
That's it. You're madder than a junkyard dog, and you're not going to take it anymore. Your feathers are ruffled, your dander is up, and you've got a definite bone to pick. Join us each week on Pet Peeves, the show that lets you dig through the dirt and unleash your passion for pets. Your host, pet expert and award-winning author, Amy Shojai, will talk about what makes you howl and what hisses you off. Pet Peeves, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Ready to take a walk? Not just you, but your whole family. It's the 2008 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 8th from 9 to 4 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2008, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
When you listen to the news, you turn on your computer and you go to the internet, typically what do we see? Terrible news. People dying, animals being hurt. Well, here is some great news. And I'm going to have this be a new segment in my segments called Positively Good News. And that's going to be spelled P-A-W-S, kind of a play on words. Well, the first bit of positively good news I found on CNN.com, and it's about a dolphin who rescued some stranded whales. Now, we know that whales get themselves stranded all too frequently. They don't seem to have a real good reason why. Well, this is a story that came out of Wellington in New Zealand, where a dolphin by the name of Moko, because this particular dolphin was one that was always sticking around this particular beach, being very playful with the humans that are around there. But Moko seemed to be drawn to two pygmy sperm whales, a mother and her calf. And this was just a couple of weeks ago. They believe that it was calls of distress from these particular marine mammals that brought Moko, because people had been trying to get this calf and mother back into the water, but every time they pushed them back into the water, they would strand themselves again. So Moko came in, pushed herself between the people and the whales, and literally just showed them the way out, guide them over to this canal so they could get into deeper water, got them into open water, stayed there for a few minutes, and then came back and started playing with the humans again. So this is the first time that anybody knows that they had an interspecies refloating technique that worked. So who knows? Maybe we can get some dolphins here in the United States trained to help these other whales that get themselves stranded here. So just a really good, positively great story. So, thank you very much for listening to me. I am Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Tune in next week, where we're going to have some more interesting information for the pet lover everywhere.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.